seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 53 and the first part of verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53 and the first clause in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Isaiah 53 and the first clause in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Really, this is a most blessed and sacred chapter to every true-born child of God. Because, first of all, the Holy Spirit wonderfully led the prophet not only to view the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus into this earth, but to speak of the great sufferings and agonies that he was to endure. And how the Holy Spirit wonderfully revealed to dear Isaiah the great extent of the sufferings that Christ should bear in suffering, bleeding, dying for his dear people. But in trying to plead with the Lord for a word to bring before you, thinking of the Lord's Supper, the Lord seemed to drop this word in with a measure of sweet power. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The spotless, holy, pure, sacred child of God, Son of God, that came into this earth to redeem his dear people. And it pleased the Father to bruise him. Not for anything that he had done, but what he was to bear in the sufferings for his dear bride, his church. And he was to be bruised in several ways. Firstly, the bruising of body. I noticed one of the old divines some years ago said that he was black and blue with bruising in body. Some of us may know what it is to be severely bruised through maybe a fall or some other means, and it can be extremely painful and take a long season to recover. But then, and I speak of these things with profound reverence, he was to be bruised in his soul. Of course, the greatest, we may say, part of that bruising was done by God the Father himself to his beloved Son when he bore the sins of all his bride, his church. You and I, if we're among them. And it pleased the Father to bruise him. And we often suffer because of our sin. But he knew no sin. He was spotless throughout. We're told in the Psalms, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And that applies in particular to the dear Lord Jesus. But then he was bruised in mind. Let us ever remember that he was exactly as we are, in body, in mind, in every faculty. And when we think of the sufferings of crucifixion, I understand that it is the most painful death that a person can ever die. You think when they put those nails in his hands, his feet, and then the weight of the whole body upon those nails. We sing in the hymn of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. But the child of God, when they're led by faith a little to Calvary, we'll realise just a little of those bruisings and sufferings. I think of his mind. You know, so often when traumas come or things come in our lives that, as it were, devastate us, all the sufferings of the mind. And remember, naturally, he was verily man, yet verily God. And when we think of the Lord's Supper, he said, didn't he, this do in remembrance of me. And may we be given faith to look back to Calvary, to see the great cost of our salvation, his own heart's blood. Think of when the soldiers pierced his side. There came forth blood and water. That blood, you know, is so vital to the real child of God. You know, naturally speaking, our blood is vital to us, isn't it? And think about it spiritually. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no other blood can do that, you know. That's why it's so vital. There will be no getting to heaven without it. What did the Lord say to the children of Israel when the destroying angel was to go forth in Egypt? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There was their safety. Where's yours? Where's mine this afternoon? It pleased the Lord to bruise him, his only beloved, only begotten Son, in whom he said on two blessed occasions, I am well pleased. At his baptism and then and the Mount of Transfiguration. But I want to bring this home to each of our souls in experience. And I want to direct you to the first thing of wonderful prophecy. When in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell, the Lord spoke a wonderful promise, you know, concerning the coming of his beloved Son. And it is this, and this is what the Holy Spirit has recorded. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And then this word, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord came to bruise the head of Satan. And you know, a bruising of the head naturally is most painful. But you think Satan's head must be bruised, and there was only one that could bruise it, and that was the precious Son of God himself. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The heel of Christ is the church of God in the earth. As I have said before, there are two parts of the church of God that are free from the bruising of Satan. The first are those that are landed in glory in heaven. They're free from it. He can't touch them. While they were here, they knew what it was to be bruised by Satan. But now they're free from it. The second part are those that are not yet born, but they're in the womb of the covenant, ordained to eternal life, but Satan can't touch them. But those that are in the earth and know what it is to be bruised by Satan, and it says here, and thou shalt bruise his heel, speaking of the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. Satan's head must be bruised, but Satan would bruise the heel of Christ, which is his church in the earth. And if you and I have got a real religion, we shall know something of what it is to be bruised by Satan. He'll do all he can to bruise the child of God, especially when the Lord has favoured them. He comes in like a flood. When we're under the blessing of heaven, the Spirit of the Lord upon us, and Satan, I do all he can to destroy it. And that's a wonderful evidence that it's real, poor self. But we have in the Epistle to the Romans a beautiful word which the Holy Spirit has left on record through the Apostle. And it's this, and may the Holy Spirit so apply it to those of you that feel the bruising of Satan this afternoon. And may the power of heaven speak it to you. And the God of peace, think of that, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And if you look how he attacked the children of Israel through Pharaoh at the Red Sea, how the Lord so appeared and Satan was put under the feet of the children of Israel when the Lord delivered them and he gave them peace. They saw the enemy dead on the seashore. You can think too of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Oh, you look at the adversaries that continually wanted to destroy them and put them into the fiery furnace. But what did the Lord do? He was to fulfill this word, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And what happened? All those that were in that fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, were brought out without the smell of smoke on them. But what did the Lord do to those that cast them in? They were Satan's agents. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Satan's agents cannot love the Saviour's choice. And what did the Lord do? He cast them into that fiery furnace, all those that put them in there, and they were destroyed by the fire. And the same thing applied with Daniel, those that cast him in. The lions had the mastery of them and destroyed them. The Lord, the God of peace, shall bruise. There was no doubt about this. And those that may be attacked and being bruised by Satan this afternoon, may the Holy Spirit give you that faith to view this beautiful word. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. A wonderful prospect and yet a solemn one, isn't it? Shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now these are what the Lord, things the Lord has recorded, you see, in his word. But then we read too in the wonderful ministry of the dear Lord Jesus, how the Lord was to wonderfully work. And what does he say? The bruised reed shall not break, neither shall the smoking flax be quenched, neither shall I quench the smoking flax. Now, this is what the Lord promised, you see. And there may be those of you broke a bruised reed. It's limp, it falls, doesn't it? It's got no power in itself. And we, let us be very clear this afternoon, have got no power in and of ourselves to stand against this arch enemy, Satan. But there's one that overcame him, poor soul, and that is the dear Lord Jesus. He overcame all the power of Satan to deliver his dear bride, his church. He laid down his precious life and shed his precious blood at Calvary and rose again a mighty conqueror over sin, over death, over hell, over Satan. Satan was conquered. But while time lasts, he will have his last fling. His day is coming, and we are told it clearly in the Word of God, that he will be confined to the bottomless pit with all his hellish crew, those that never know this dear Redeemer set forth in our text, who was bruised for his dear people, and it pleased the Father to bruise him. We read in the lesson, didn't we? Surely he hath borne our griefs. Think of it, poor soul. Some of you may have got some this afternoon, those griefs within you, and really often we have, haven't we? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And then listen. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, it's a wonderful thing if the Holy Spirit sweetly leads you to view, thinking of all the sin there is within us, the unbelief, the doubts, those sins that beset us daily. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, if I know anything of it at all, the Holy Spirit whisper that to you in your poor heart and to me. It'll melt the hardest marbles of your heart. Oh, it will. To think, to view by faith, he was bruised for our iniquities. You may say, well, but my sins are like mountains. Poor soul, he came to put them all away. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a saviour's blood to plead. Well, I've just scratched around a little of this word this afternoon. Well, we got the Lord's Supper to attend to. I'll leave it for your meditation. But if nothing else, may the Holy Spirit sweetly draw your faith and mine, that little faith we have, into Isaiah 53. That we may have the sweet assurance that it was for crimes that we have done he suffered, bled and died. There is all your hope. It's not in self, it's not in this world, it's not in man, but hope in the dear Redeemer. One said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his dear name. And may the Holy Spirit grant that we may have a sweet token of assurance he suffered, bled and died for us personally. And that will give you the peace that we read of in Romans, the God of peace, shall tread Satan under your feet shortly. There's a wonderful prospect there, isn't it? The God of peace shall tread, not my words, they're the Holy Spirit's words, Satan, under your feet. You may say, what, such a poor sinner? Yes, shortly. And faith will view the prospect. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.